Germany Symphony Orchestra has unveiled its reimagined 2020-2021 season, which will include world premieres, concertos with brilliant soloists, as well as iconic masterworks. Curated by Grammy Award-winning conductor David Alan Miller, this season brings to life an amazing array of new and recent works by just this wonderful, wonderful litany of famous living composers who are forging new ways to create art reflecting our time and place. Major masterpieces by Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, Debussy, and others. It is a great pleasure to welcome to our microphones our dear friend who will help us find out what's going on, give us the wonderful, wonderful preview that we so deserve, Maestro David Alan Miller. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm great. How are you doing? What a nice long introduction. I thought you were going to play the whole piece.
I thought we were going to play the whole damn thing, too. That was my fault. Completely my fault.
No worries. I enjoyed it. Yeah. It was beautiful. It's the Debussy that's on our second program. Yeah.
I'd love to tell you that it was an artistic decision, but I was having trouble with the printer.
I was hoping you'd gone over to an all-classical format, although I must say, as one of your most devoted listeners, we so appreciate all the great, great coverage you and Alan and everybody there is giving us in this fraught time. Very, very wonderful of you.
Well, it is a fraught time, and it's certainly fraught for people in the arts like yourself. And so I assume you had a season long ago planned, and then that sort of goes to pot, and you say, okay, now we're going to do a virtual season. How much were you able to save, and how much are you able to put in new stuff?
Well, probably a lot of both. I mean, we did a total reimagine, but we did know, as you say, we did know that if there's one thing all of our friends and subscribers and the passionate supporters need right now, it's some good music. So we really made a decision fairly early on that we were not going to go dark for the fall or for the year or for any period of time, and that we were going to stay right to our schedule and do all of our subscription concerts actually on the nights they were initially planned, live in real time. So that means that the musicians and I will be co-locating in one of the safer halls in our beautiful region, and sending it out virtually to all of our beloved friends and subscribers and attendees. So we knew we wanted to do that, and we did have to, of course, you know, abide by all of the safety regulations, both the state regulations and just the commonsensical regulations. So the orchestras, the ensembles are understandably much smaller, and the repertoire has changed somewhat. But I'm really proud of the fact that we didn't just try to do what we were doing, and we didn't try to do something totally different. We really tried to take the best elements of what we were going to do and graft those into a somewhat more modestly sized but equally exciting and beautiful virtual season.
So that season begins October 24th. What can we expect?
Well, I don't know how much detail you want. We were starting with this fantastic piece by Michael Dougherty that actually we just released on recording last spring.
I need about 12 minutes of detail, David, to fill the segment.
No. I'll give you about 4 minutes.
Well, I have other questions. Don't worry. But just keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, I will. So we're beginning with this great piece by Michael Dougherty, which is kind of its own evening-length thing. It's about a 75-minute piece, and it is the life and times of Woody Guthrie, these fantastic songs for two singers and narrator and small orchestra ensemble. And it's just a great, great piece, and we've got it's going to be a beautiful production. And then in November, we go a little more traditional. We've got these amazing versions I discovered. You know, all the conductors have been figuring out, you know, where to find great versions of pieces for smaller ensembles. This happens to be an English arranger who's very much alive and well, who does these incredible, like, 15-member downsizings of great symphonic works that sound unbelievably like the original version. So we're doing Afternoon of a Faun, which is why you were playing that at the beginning, and we're doing Mahler's Fourth Symphony in this amazing version where you hear things that you never hear in the big orchestra version, and a great premiere by one of our favorite living composers, André Myers. In December, we've got a big Beethoven spectacular, which is what we had originally, but it's a little bit smaller orchestra, but equally exciting. In January, we have a beautiful string orchestra concert with Tchaikovsky's Serenade and works by some great emerging women composers, Jessie Montgomery and Caroline Shaw. We're doing an original version of the Brahms First Serenade in February. We've got all sorts of wonderful young and emerging composers, as well as, you know, symphonies by Haydn and Schubert and Rachmaninoff's Third Piano Concerto. So I think it's seven world premieres, 13 new works and lots of classics and just beautiful, beautiful music. And of course, we're doing the whole season virtually. But as things relax, if they do, we hope in the spring, we'll begin to reinvite, you know, our subscribers first back into the hall. And then if we can open up further, we will.
It's interesting to me. I know this isn't the central question, but I find it to be interesting because I know a lot of people have asked athletes and others who expect the applause at the end of what it is like for you as the orchestra to perform and to do it with all of the gusto that you do and then have a silent hall.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird when you end. But while it's going on, it doesn't feel that different. And actually, we had a lot of debate internally about should we pre-record these things, you know, like so many groups have done. But we really made a decision that we wanted to do it live in real time. So for those people who subscribe, and you can subscribe to the full series or to just three concerts or five concerts, whatever you want, you get the Saturday night exactly as you would have had if you come down to Troy or the Palace, just on your screen, whatever your screen is at your home. And you can interact, you can kibitz with other listeners. There's a pre-concert talk that I do, which is what I do before every concert when we do them live, that you can see. And there's also a new element, a post-concert. Immediately post-concert, we're doing a talk back in real time where we'll be sitting there on the stage and people from the audience, you know, from our virtual audience can ask us questions and we'll respond in real time. So we're really working to make it as close to the live experience as we possibly can, because, you know, another thing that we all need is a little more normalcy in our lives. And this idea that, you know, Saturday night once a month is symphony night, we really want to keep that. So we really want to just reassure our listeners that we're very much there for them.
And then how do you I hate to be crass, but
that's the question.
But you have to make money, right? I mean, how does it hurt you in the sense of the difference of filling a house and having as many people online as you can?
Absolutely, it does hurt us, and it hurts all the arts. The fact that, you know, whatever we do virtually only yields a fraction of the amount that ticket sales would. You know, we aren't going to get any single ticket revenue probably all year. And that's often half of our ticket revenue. But that's, you know, I think you had a wonderful, the lovely lady from the Williamstown Theater, I think, who made the point a month or so ago. And I just want to reiterate it, that that's why it's so critical for all of our generous listeners at WAMC, not only to support the great station, but for all of you art consumers, you know, this is a time when your arts institutions just so need you. So whether you do it by subscribing and then giving an additional gift or whatever you do, however you can support the institutions that matter to you, this is the time to do it. So that when we come through this, at the end of this, a year from now, we all hope, you know, these institutions still exist and are solvent enough that they can continue. So we're in a pretty good place relative to other arts institutions. We have lots of fiscal pressures, but, you know, because we're using smaller orchestras, we've cut a lot of costs inside the institution, and we're really doing what we can to be proactive. But the best thing you can do is whether it's the symphony or whatever art institution you do, is to subscribe and in addition to support with generous philanthropic gifts.
So when people look at, I mean, normally we talk about subscriptions and the like, and they can still do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that's great about, you know, we designed this very, very carefully, and we are more concerned about all of our listenership and all of our friends who love to go to the symphony, whether they go every month or whether they go occasionally. But we really are focusing on a subscription model that if you subscribe at any level, you know, whether you get 3, 5, 7, 9, 8, whatever, however many concerts, you get the whole package for those concerts. So you get to come to the Saturday night. We archive it, so if for any reason you're not available that Saturday night, you can watch the whole thing the following month. And then we are trying to make there's something available where if you want to just go to the third concert, you can do that for $25 donation or more. But that's only available to you a week later, and in a slightly shorter format. You don't get the post-concert, the pre-concert, all that stuff. So what we're really trying to do is encourage people to subscribe at some level. And when you subscribe, you don't only get the full package, but you also make sure that you're the first in line when we do come back a year from now to get the best seats. So we're really, you know, moving ever more toward a subscription model to make sure that we can serve the people who seem to need us the most.
You know, you talk about a year from now, and that, of course, is the hope, and I'm right there with you of hoping that that's the case. Are you involved in discussions both statewide and with our local, you know, local representatives in the arts? Are you in touch with them of figuring out the best way to do this and to work with various concert halls and places that can bring people back together?
Yes, and the state has been, you know, unlike, forgive me for saying, certain other states, has been very proactive about, you know, making sure we know what the best practices are. So our operations team has worked really closely with the state and with the concert halls to make sure that whatever we do is absolutely safe. You know, we're starting with 9 musicians on the stage, and then we're going to 15, and then we're going to 25, and we're doing it, you know, the first 2 concerts we're doing up at the beautiful new Preservation Hall in Saratoga, but we won't have, you know, there's no audience. But the musicians and I will all be there, but we're doing it, you know, really safely. But you know, again, all those things are concerns, but none of them is in any way insurmountable. And the thing that, you know, the important message is that we're here, we're playing. The musicians are so excited and pleased because, you know, so many orchestras and so many ensembles are not playing. You know, we're hungry to perform for our wonderful audience. And the fact that we're doing it virtually is just a different way to deliver it. So we're very excited about it. And it's going to be just, you know, one beautiful concert after another.
So let's talk about that. We spoke about the first concert, but bring us through the season and some of the highlights that you see for going in through fall, winter, and spring.
Yeah, I mean, the second concert in November, as I said, is just a gorgeous kind of more classical concert with Mahler and Debussy. The third, you know, we had a giant 2-concert Beethoven birthday bash because that's what his actual 250th birthday is. But so we've had to downsize that a little bit. So we're doing some early Beethoven, the First Symphony and his Creatures of Prometheus music. And then a great Michael Torkey piece inspired by Beethoven, Ash, and a beautiful double oboe concerto by Viet Quang featuring our 2 brilliant oboists. That's kind of inspired by Vivaldi. And then in January, we have this gorgeous all strings concert with 3 beautiful contemporary short pieces, Tchaikovsky's Serenade, Sibelius. February, we're doing the Brahms Serenade, but we're also doing this great narrative piece by William Walton called Facade, which is this incredible gibberish poetry from the early part of the 20th century, and a beautiful new piece by Tyson Davis. March, we've got Schubert Symphony, a Haydn Symphony, Sintakis's Violin Concerto, the great young violinist Melissa White. We've got the Rachmaninoff 3rd in April. And then on our festival in June, we've got 4 brilliant works by living composers who happen to be women: Nina Shakar, Clarissa Saad, Molly Joyce, and Alexis Lamb. So it was funny. I was talking to a friend who lives in Michigan the other night, and he said, "Well, I'm so sad. I guess the Albany Symphony isn't going to get to do all that great the music you usually do." And I said, "Oh, no, we're doing it all. We've got all sorts of commissions out. We've got all these great composers writing madly. They're so excited to be on the season. So we're doing business as usual as we can make it, given the few strictures of having to do it, you know, without a live audience and with a slightly smaller crew."
What is it like for the musicians when you are rehearsing and you, I mean, just to get out of the house, first of all,
yeah,
then to make music again, what is that like?
Right. I would answer it almost backwards. I would say, what is it like for the musicians when they're not performing?
Yeah.
You know, so it's been such a difficult time for our performing artists and for our Albany Symphony musicians. You know, they come from our immediate region, but they come from all over the Northeast and drive in for a week, and obviously they're not able to do that. And because their lives are basically freelancing, you know, no one's making a living, their whole living, from playing in the Albany Symphony, since we only do 9 or 10 concerts a year. So they're putting together a career from various different regional orchestras and hopefully teaching and such. but the performing, you know, has just shut down. So it's been an incredibly dire, difficult time for many, many of our musicians. So so I have to say that getting together is just joyful because everyone is so happy to be able to play together. We're all wearing masks as we can, except for the winds and brass, but their instruments have sort of coverings on them and, you know, we're distancing and all the things we need to do. But it's a very joyful experience. And just the idea that we're able to get back together and play is really just life-affirming. And I think you'll feel that when you watch the concerts. They're just going to be really thrilling for us, and I know thrilling for people who were with us to watch them.
We just have about a minute and a half left, but this idea of using various stages throughout the region, I mean, you sort of do that anyway, but this is an interesting way of doing it.
It is. It's really fun. It will be in the Palace in December, and, you know, as different venues open up, some are not yet fully open, and some, you know, have more limitations. So we found that these are the two that at the moment are most equipped. But we hope through the spring to be able to play in various venues. And we just, you know, look forward to all of our friends following us. And I know, you know, for some people it's not ideal to be sitting at home watching the concert. But for others, particularly for some of our older patrons, you know, they are loving the fact that there's so much available online. Every evening they're watching a different concert or a play or whatever. So if you're into that, we hope, you know, everybody, even people who haven't thought of subscribing, will continue subscribing or consider subscribing, because it's going to be just a beautiful, beautiful season of music.
Well, to find out more information about this beautiful season, all you have to do is go to albanysymphony.com, albanysymphony.com, and you can find out about the subscriptions. You can find out about individual performances. The whole thing gets underway on October 24th. October 24th, the Albany Symphony Orchestra's 2021 season. It is virtual, it's online, and again, you can find out more at albanysymphony.com. David Alan Miller, you're the best. I thank you very much for bringing us up to date. No, you're the best.
You're the best.
Be well, my friend, and we look forward
to
having
you
back soon.
You.
Thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.